Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today. Come on, Faith Church, you can do better than that. Glad you're here today. You can be seated. I really am excited about the fact that we're exactly where we're supposed to be this weekend. As you know, the past few weeks, we've been in a sermon series called Gospel, Grace, and Guitars. And raise your hand if you've enjoyed that. It's been good. But there was something that happened to me Tuesday. It was my birthday, and the Lord woke me up at 3 a.m. And all of a sudden, I started hearing that song that we sing all the time. It's never been a moment, never been a minute, never been a time you weren't in it. And it just rushed over me. Have you ever felt the Holy Spirit like give you goosebumps? Anybody ever had that? Come on, raise your hand. Every campus, it's just goosebumps. And so it's 3 a.m, and I thought for sure, oh, I'll lay back in bed. As soon as I laid down, I was just overwhelmed with the presence and the power of God. So I went into my living room, and our family was in town, and Austin and everybody who's there in Florida today, but they were here, and I was trying to be as quiet as I could, but I started praising God, and God started speaking to me. And from 3 till 5, God, I didn't see him, but I could feel him in the room, and he spoke to me. He spoke to me about our future. He spoke to me about America. He spoke to me about a coming revival that's going to hit our church. And I was so glad that we were not in a series, because so many of my friends today, and not that they're bad or anything like that, but they're in the middle of a series, and they've had to preempt the series due to the recent events this week. This week was traumatic, I think, for all of us, when you're seeing that girl killed on a subway and the guy in Dallas being beheaded and Charlie Kirk, something none of us ever wanted to see right before our very eyes. It's disturbing. But if you back up, the devil always overplays his hand. And in the midst of all tragedy, trust and know this, God takes bad things that happen, that the devil causes to happen, and he turns them around for your good. Come on, go ahead, give it up for God being good love for you. And as we all saw something we never, ever wanted to see, arising out of that ashes was a strong young woman who came up and began to proclaim this week about Jesus, about Charlie's love for Jesus. And never in the history of the world has the entire world, from Russia to the Ukraine to Japan, all over the world, heard the message of Jesus Christ being preached by that family. And that's just the way it is. So at the crux of it, what happens? We know, the Bible says, you know this in John 10:10, it says, the thief comes but to, if you know it, say what? Steal. One more time, what? To steal. And if you're brand new, sitting in the high school today at RPC, whatever campus you're at today, this will start bearing witness with your spirit. There's something on the inside of everybody who came to church today that loves Jesus, that wants more of Jesus. And Saturday night, I asked the people, Saturday night, I want you to go and pray over the chairs early. I want you to know that every building that you're in today, that we have prayed in the Spirit and anointed them with oil. And if you came in bound today, you're going to leave free, healed, delivered. That happened before all this happened. So I really want to just speak to my, and through my heart today, and kind of tell you some history about what does this mean and what is prayer. The Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. And I want to back up before I tell you of what the Lord spoke to me and talk about the power of prayer. My dad had a church not far from this church in Fenton. And in Fenton, this little piece that came out of, I believe, a Catholic church was sitting in what he called a prayer room. And in that prayer room, you would walk in there and people would be praying before church. Donna was there, Linda was there, Gloria was there. There's about 180 people at my dad's church. And before church, a lot of people got there early and they prayed. And the reason why this has all of this residue of candle wax was on this was a giant candelabra, and every time church would happen, they would light these candles, and the candles wax eventually totally like a cave began to build up, and to wax. Wax fell over the sides, wax fell everywhere, and the Fenton Fire Department gave my dad a hard time because they said it was against the rules. You can't have a fire in there. You can't do this. And some reason, every time my dad would go in there and talk to the fire department and let them know that that's a holy thing, that God is in this place, I don't know, they just let it go. And for my whole church life, before church, there was a church with a remnant of people who were praying and seeking God's face. And the power of God was there in a way, but it wasn't to the degree that I've seen it manifest itself in our church in recent years. But I'm here to tell you that everything that we are today is because of what was yesterday through the power of prayer that happened there. This has been sitting at Earth City for 21 years, sitting in the backstage. I didn't think about it even being there until I started thinking about the revival that hit our church, and I'll show you some footage later, where signs and wonders flowed and people got out of wheelchairs. And I forgot about that. Why did it happen at Earth City? I believe part of it's because, and I don't want you to make this like a holy piece, but it's symbolic, that if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, I would hear from heaven and I would heal their land. America is in trouble. The world is in trouble. And the answer is not found in a political party. The answer is not found in rhetoric. The answer is found. Somebody ought to shout his name. His name is Jesus. He's our soon and coming King. Go ahead and give him praise in the house today. Prayerful. Now, you've probably heard of a pear tree. You can know the pear tree because of the pear and the fruits that's on there. But I guarantee you've never heard of a prayer tree. This is what I have in my house. That right there is a giant tree outside of my house in Missouri. And that little statue of a priest on the left stood on this my whole life at my dad's church. I put that next to my bed while we were building Faith Church for years. Raise your hand if you find this interesting, and I hope you do, because this is my story. It's like, how did this church come about? How did you get to Florida? How did all this happen? It all came out of prayer. And I kept it near my bed, and then eventually we moved, and it was when God gave us this building in Sunset Hills, and I'm sitting at today, which is a modern day miracle that the Lord would manifest and give us this place that was a landmark for revival. And next thing you know, I move over here on a hill, and the guy came one day to reappraise our house, and the guy was walking through, and he looked out the windows, and he said, this is called Paraclete Hill. And I said, what? Because I heard my whole life, my dad would say that the Holy Spirit, another word for him, was Paraclete. And I said, what do you mean? He said, Paraclete Hill. All the priests in St. Louis, this was behind them, this was called Paraclete Hill. I said, oh my gosh, God put me on this hill. And it was there on that hill that I had that little statue, and God would begin to visit me about Florida and visit me about the other campuses, and everything that really mattered came off the front porch of that house in Sunset Hills on Paraclete Hill. I say that to say that what you teach yourself and what you teach your family is important. That was code word for me. If you said Paraclete Hill and I was never raised around that, I wouldn't know what that meant. So going to church and learning things about Jesus and learning things about his word and going to Growth Track. And we have a Next Step night there in Florida Monday night. Nicole and I'll be there. We want to meet you and get with you. And you need to become a part of this prayer family. Because what you and I witnessed this week is wrong. It's diabolically wrong. It's not about a political party. It's about good and evil. It's about dark and light. We should agree to disagree. Remember those days? Come on, somebody. We're supposed to love. Oh, what changes things? Prayer. So then later, when I was on that hill, put that back, please, the Paraclete Hill, somebody gave me that second statue, and I kept that second statue next to my bed for years and years and years. And then a couple years ago, we moved out to the place we live now, and there was a stump, a little tree that had grown out of that big tree. And the little tree had grown out of the big tree, but somehow it had gotten damaged and cut off. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and said, "You've heard of a pear tree, but have you ever heard of a prayer tree?" And I took Liquid Nail and Liquid Nail, those two guys, to that tree. And every time that I walked down that trail, I could feel the presence and the power of God. I'm not saying that there's something special about those two ornaments. I am saying, though, symbolically, there has to be something special in your life to remember this is the Lord's day. This is the time that we need to draw near to God. We need to draw near to the presence of God. Come on, give God praise today in that high school and Royal Palm online. Something significant happens when you honor God. When you honor God, he will honor you. Now, there's a scripture I want to go to, Luke 1. It says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing it to Israel." And the child grew and he waxed strong. This is referring to John the Baptist. In Luke 2, this refers to Jesus. "And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." So they both grew in wisdom. They both grew and waxed strong. There's something about this waxing that I wish you could have seen it. I've got a picture somewhere, but I don't know where it's at. It's back before everything was on the iCloud. This thing was magnificent and huge, and it was, you couldn't even believe it. It took forever just to break it loose from the waxing that had happened through the hours and hours of prayer. The cumulative hours of prayer that happened were phenomenal. We waxed strong as a church. When I think about my daddy in heaven today, and I think about all the years that he spent building a church, not a big church, but a powerful church. By the way, a church doesn't have to be big to be powerful. When you get to heaven, it won't be based on what was big or little or what you did was big or little. Did you do what God called you to do? And I believe that God, that my dad did what God called him to do. And one of the things that he did was to raise me in the image, the admonition of the Lord, to teach me things of the Spirit, to wax strong in the Spirit, so you and I could stand here in the middle of September of 2025 and say the world is in shambles, but we have the answer, and the answer is found in the grace and the peace of God. Come on, somebody. The answer is found in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. We're here to pass that on. They wax strong. Shout it with me. They wax strong. One more time. What? They wax strong. Every time you come to church, you're waxing a little stronger. Every time that Charlie began to speak about Jesus and the blood of Jesus and the anointing of Jesus, people's lives are transformed. What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to back up and be afraid? Are you going to be a coward and say, "Well, I don't want anybody to know what I stand for"? My dad told me you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You got to draw a line in the sand that says, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He will serve Jesus. Go to his house, read his word, because someday you're gone. In a twinkling of an eye. Just like that. So what do? We've got to say, wait a minute, we're going to heed what the Holy Spirit has to say. Now, again, I don't want to bore people, and I'm trying to do this in the most eloquent way and the most interesting way, because I realize that there's a lot of new believers on a weekend, that this is all foreign to you. But here's what I've wrestled with all week. I could just preach to you the word, and that would be great, which is what I'm doing, or I could show you demonstration and show you how to grow a little bit deeper. And here's what I came up with. Remember back when the psychic lines were real big and Dionne Warwick and the gang were on? Come on, raise your hand. And people were, I was like, my gosh, you know, and these people were hungry for something supernatural. So I got a hunch, and what I wrestled with all week was I think that God could help me, and I think that you trust me enough to take you on this journey to realize there's something deeper and there's another level, and you could wax stronger and you could be led by the Holy Ghost on a whole different level and enjoy your life with tranquility and peace. Now again, raise your hand if that makes sense to you. So I'm gonna read to you this prophetic word. It's 3 a.m. in the morning, this past Tuesday, I turned 56, and he says this to me. "Today is your 56th birthday. For years, the enemy has tried to place a pre-program limitation over this year because it was the age your father passed away. But I, the Lord, am shifting you into a new Holy Ghost flow that you will know and that you will begin to show to your church. I want to pause here and say, some of the ways that I do things you don't know, there's something about me that goes to that prayer tree and gets down on my knees and says, oh God, use me. I'm a man of unclean lips. God, Holy Ghost, come on me. And I start speaking in another known tongue and sometimes translating, and that would freak everybody out. But I need you to know that about me. I am a wild, crazy, Jesus fanatic, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, devil casting out, faith believing, healing. Come on, somebody. I believe that he gets water out of a rock. I believe that he split a Red Sea. I believe that he showed up in a group of 120 people and fire and cloven tongues hit them. I believe that. People say, I don't believe that, you know, Jonah was swallowed by a whale. I would believe that Jonah swallowed a whale. Nobody believed that people got swallowed by whales until recent years of TikTok. How many of you have all seen kayaks go inside a well? Thank you and have a nice day. He says the rest of it, you will begin to show it to your church. And that's what I'm doing right now. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith fail not. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. This was on Tuesday. Now think about the strength that the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ at large, needs right now. Satan's trying to shift us as wheat. Just as Satan desired to sift Peter, by the shifting and sifting happening on your staff, it's bringing everything into proper alignment for the Holy Ghost assignment. This very day, things in your life that have hindered you spiritually must die. Not in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense. You declared in a message recently that there would be a death of the old and the resurrection of the new, and that was not your own word, it was a prophetic word. The old mindsets, the fear of man, the pride of wondering what people will say, it has to die today. And in their place will rise boldness, clarity, and a prophetic Holy Ghost flow. I remind you that when I birthed Faith Church years ago, when you stepped out on a snowy day and called for a spontaneous revival, oil flowed on the stage, people were healed, and it was Pentecostal in nature, yet modern in sophistication and expression. From that moment, revival night spread across America. But now I say the next wave is the Holy Ghost outpouring. It will not just be revival nights filled with fiery preaching, but services saturated with my spirit, creative and innovative in a unique way, and other churches will follow as they did before. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in one accord, in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire and set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This same outpouring will mark this church again. Signs and wonders and miracles, hear me, signs and wonders and miracles will flow in greater message. A fresh wind will blow. A creative sound will rise. Worship will be prophetic. Messages will be Spirit-led. Offerings will be filled with faith and fire. And people will say, surely the Spirit of God is in this place. That is not just a word for you, David, but all who call Faith Church their home. Everybody shout, I receive it. I receive it. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. As you rise, they will rise. As you flow, they will flow. As you pour out, as I pour out on you, you pour out on them. So hear me today on your 56th birthday, get ready for the death, the burial, and the resurrection of a new church, a resurrected church, a Holy Ghost church, a financial free church, a fully staffed church, a miracle working church. You've heard it said, get ready, set, go. You've heard it said, when preparation meets opportunity, success happens. You've heard it said, out with the old, in with the new. You've heard it said, lace up your boots, put on your backpack. It's time to rise. But I say to you, this is a new day. Arise and declare the Holy Ghost outpouring is here and it's here to stay. Give God praise for that prophetic word. Can I get a Kleenex? I apologize. I started crying and snot started running. Does that bear witness with you? Did it make sense to you? Raise your hand. Come on, Florida. You can feel it. God is in this place. God is at that high school. Even at the high school today, the name of that road is called Shiloh Road. That Shiloh means meeting place with God. When God spoke to me to start that church there at that high school, and they told me it was Shiloh, I knew that it was God. Now, if you're a note taker, I want you to write this down. The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. It did not say that we would follow signs. It said signs would follow us. I'm saying it again. It didn't say that we would follow signs. It said signs would follow us. And so there's something that gets really weird in a church when it gets really, really, I guess, spiritual or holy. And sometimes when it starts moving in those realms, people get weird. Anybody ever seen people represent the Holy Spirit in a weird way? It's like, woo, can I pray for you? And I'm like, God, no way. So the Holy Spirit isn't weird, but weird people make the Holy Spirit weird. What I don't want is a weird church. I want a church that has people that think different than us, that look different than us, that sin different than us, but they come in and the Holy Spirit begins to sit them in seats that have been air conditioned, but also prayer conditioned, and we are now allowing the Holy Spirit to take us to the next level. So when he decides to flow in an outpouring in our church, signs and wonders follow. Come on, give God praise today. First Corinthians 2, it says, "In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power, dunamis, dynamite of God." There's a power that happens. In that prophecy, it said that the oil flowed, and it was Pentecostal in nature, but modern in sophistication and expression. Let me explain that to you. It had snowed here in St. Louis for multiple weeks. Florida, you don't know anything about that. They have a total different white stuff than we have up here. And for about 4 weeks, it snowed. Every Sunday that I was here, it snowed, and you couldn't have church. And I really didn't care because we did online services, and people are taught, our church is generous, and so many people give anyway, so it really didn't affect me. And I got a call from my mother-in-law, and she said something like, "Our church has been knocked out every week, and they live way out in the country, and our little church just started to have a church at 4 o'clock in the afternoon." And I knew God had spoke through my mother-in-law, which I was very surprised. But in here, the same inner witness that you get in your Holy Spirit, in here, I knew I was supposed to do it. And I was snowy, and I came to the church parking lot here in Sunset Hills, and so I just went on Instagram and went live and said, "Hey, we never do church on Sunday night. We never do church at Earth City, but we're having church at Earth City tonight. God's gonna move." And man, I went home and the enemy was telling me nobody's gonna come. How do you get that many people to come? How would they know about it? And I went home, put up those little guys again, if you wouldn't mind. I went home and the little statue was next to my bed. Sometimes I'd grab that statue. And I remember walking around in my house on Paraclete here saying, "Oh God, use me. Oh God, come. God, I need you tonight." And I heard in here the Holy Spirit say, "Bring oil." Now our church didn't have a lot of oil. You know, back in the day, people bring anointing oil. We didn't have that. So I said, "Hey, I want some oil. And I just don't want a little bit of oil. I want a lot of oil." And our church brought me the biggest jug of oil you've ever seen in your life. And I began, at some point in the service, people came, they showed up, and God spoke to me to pour the oil all over the stage. And it was like this kind of stage there at our city. And I poured all over the stage, and then God told me to have people come up and put their hand in the oil. And as people began to put their hand in the oil, now remember, this isn't special oil. This is just from Costco or Sam's. I can promise you it was the place that we got the best deal on the oil. The significance wasn't where we got the oil. The significance was the oil was representing the power of the Holy Spirit that would touch people as a point of contact when they touched it. Raise your hand if that makes sense. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She said, "If I can get to the hem of his garment, if I can touch him, I will be made whole." So people started coming up and they started getting healed. And then God spoke to me and said, "See the woman, the young girl over here, she's in a wheelchair. I want her to come out of the wheelchair tonight." I immediately thought, I'm not a TV evangelist. I'm not Benny Hinn. What in the world? And in my brain, I thought, man, I don't want to do that. So I kind of crawled under the stage. You could get under there. And I went over to this young girl because I've seen her at church a lot. She's in the wheelchair all the time. And I went over in my own reasoning and started asking questions. How long have you been in the wheelchair? Have you ever walked a day in your life? See what I'm saying right now? It's like, how can God do this? What is possible? Your mind plays tricks on you. Raise your hand if your mind plays tricks on you. But then all of a sudden in that service, God started moving. It started flowing, and I told the team to take her back. And so they pushed her up on the handicap accessible area. She's sitting over there, and at the right point in the service, remember, signs and wonder will follow. At the right point in the service, I had to bring that girl up. And immediately, I was fearful. I thought, I don't know if it's going to happen or not. So I brought a couple young kids up on stage, and they were praying for her. And I looked at her, and I was praying prayers like this. You got to remember, word got out, and there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in the audience. And I'm saying real generic stuff like, someday when you get married, way down the road, you're going to walk down the aisle. See what I'm saying? It's like a little weak prayer. Raise your hand if you get what I'm saying. I was just fearful. But then all of a sudden, the power of God starts getting that girl, and I could see it in her eye. All of a sudden, in her eyes, something changed, and she bends over, and she flips up those rails, and I thought, oh, my God, she's coming out of the wheelchair. She came out of the wheelchair. She walked down that aisle, and the place went insane, giving glory to God. Not to me. Come on, somebody. They heard my weak prayer. I said they gave glory to God. When signs and wonders flow, God gets glory. So it's Pentecostal in nature, but it was sophisticated in form. Power of God hit the church so powerful that night. By the way, would you pray for me at least for the rest of the year, every day? Raise your hand. I pray for you every day. Pray for me because there's this thing that feels like, I don't want to call revival because what if that doesn't happen again? Remember, the demonstration will come, but it might come in a different form. So we're not going to gauge the next outpouring by a wheelchair or by something like that. We're going to gauge the outpouring by people coming in and God delivering people and setting them free. So the pressure shouldn't be on me, but I'm human. Raise your hand if you think I'm human. I'm going to ask this because I know you love me. How many of you think you're really, really human, okay? Because I tell you about my stuff. But this is going to happen in spite of me, not because of me. In spite of us, not because of us. God's looking for a place that he can pour out his oil in a church that is full of the Spirit of God. Come on, somebody. Serving Jesus and has the facilities to do it. Modern and sophistication. I've only got a couple minutes left. But I would say this. The second night, I said, we're going to come back and we're going to do it again tomorrow night. By this time, it is double packed. You can't even possibly get in the building. And there was a girl who was in St. Louis that somebody had told us about that she was catatonic. She'd been in the hospital a while. And they told me about her. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of the service, I hear the Lord say, hey, somebody pull up on, watch modern sophistication, somebody pull up on Google Maps the hospital where she's at, Children's Hospital. And they put it up, and I said, no, put it on the, you know how you can make your map like look like a satellite instead of just the image. I said, put it on the satellite mode. You see it? And I said, all of us stretch our hands, and I start prophesying to this girl. And then all of a sudden, I hear me say it. At the same time you heard me say it, I said, tomorrow, you're coming out of the hospital. Anybody ever said something? You're like, oh, man, I didn't. Anybody, well, have you ever burped accidentally? Raise your hand. Have you ever, oh, my God, pardon me. That came out of me because the Holy Spirit was in me, and it wasn't him. It was him, not me, and I had the boldness to say it. The next day, there's video you'll see in a second, for standing outside the hospital. Now, the reason I'm showing you this video is because the Lord spoke to me to try to tell you this story today. He told me that on Tuesday. If you were here at church on Tuesday night, you heard me say, we're gonna go into this with everyone on Sunday. And I felt it all week. Oh man, how do I make this not weird? What if new people come in? This is a lot to take. Wow, because I always want to relate to everyone. Remember, Jesus did this. He spoke to the 5,000, then he spoke to 24, then he spoke to 12, then he had his three. There's different groups of levels of maturity. But God is speaking to me, even if you're a new believer, that you're hungry for the things of God. And if we can make this palatable and make sense, that the Holy Spirit and weird, you'll grab on it and say, man, I want to see my mom get healed. I want to see my uncle come out of that situation. I want to see that addiction go. And I'm telling you what happens when the Holy Spirit comes on, burdens are removed, yokes are destroyed, long-term sicknesses dissipate because Jesus is glorified. Come on, somebody. And we wax strong. So I want to show you this because I want to get you hungry. The only way I really know how to relate to this, have you ever been not really hungry and then you saw a commercial on TV and it showed how incredible this salad was, or let's just make it really good. Everybody ever seen the old Dairy Queen commercial and it had a chocolate river and big chunks of chocolate were falling off on the side and splashing, and the next thing you know, you're like, I need ice cream right now. Raise your hand. Your desire follows your attention. And I pray that even after the events of this week, that your desire would be more than ever to realize that life is but a vapor. It's soon to pass, and only what's done for Christ will last. We got to be more evangelistic. We got to be soul winners. We got to serve. When I talk about going through growth track, it's not just so you can better yourself. It's so that you can serve at this church. How long have you been coming? Tomorrow night there in Florida on Monday night when me and Nicole are flying down, we'll be there. We want to meet you. We want to pray with you. We want you to be a part of the church because we can't build this church alone, and we got to go to the highways and byways, compel them to come in, because the world is not only needing Jesus, they are hungry for Jesus more than ever, and we got a job to do. Come on, give God praise today. So those of you that were not at the revival, raise your hand if you were not. It was like before your time, raise your hand. It should be a lot of people. Some of you were there. The reason I'm showing this is to give God glory, and two, to show you what could be again. Check this out.
We're going to have church at the Earth City Campus tonight at 6. It's going to be a Holy Ghost blowout. We're going to push back and say, devil, not today. We're done with this mess attacking us every weekend. We're having a revival.
At 15 years old, you're going to get out of that wheelchair, and you're going to walk again, and you're going to run at some point in your life, and you're going to walk down the aisle, because it's not over until it's over, and tonight is the night that you're coming out of the wheelchair. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God!
And you're going to freak out when you hear this.
I haven't walked in 6 months.
Erlene has been wearing her hearing aids in both ears. We prayed and God healed her. She is hearing crystal clear. So there's a girl from Rev named Katie that she went into the hospital with seizures on February 6th.
I want that Google image, your real image, the map. There you go. Zoom in on that.
And she's not been able to walk, not been able to talk. She's been in a catatonic state.
There's Katie on FaceTime.
I lay my hands on you, Katie, right now. Thousands of people are agreeing with you right now. Katie, tonight you are going to experience a supernatural encounter with God. Katie, you're coming out.
Pastor David, Pastor Paul, and me. I got a feeding tube out. And then I sent you a
Yeah.
Praise today, God. We worship you. God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit that we feel here right now. Everyone stand with me. God, we give you the glory. There's never been a moment, never been a minute that you weren't in it. God, we want a church that's hungry for the Spirit of God. God, you moved through that screen that night, even in Florida at the Royal Palm, when that lady who's in heaven now, she saw that other person get healed. And then she got healed. Now, there's a mandate upon this church to bring Holy Ghost outpourings. We spawned revival, and revival nights are everywhere across America now. And I'm so happy for that. But mark my word, they will start saying, There's a Holy Ghost outpouring. There's a Holy Ghost outpouring. But there's a prayer price to be paid. There's a waxing strong that has to be paid. There's a cleansing and a cleaning and a trimming that'll happen to every tree. Staff will be some trimmed. Parishioners will be some trimmed. But I'm here to tell you that God is doing this so that more fruit would come. God, I pray right now over every campus, over every person as their pastor, that the spirit of prayer will hit them. That as we've seen the incidents of this week, beheadings in America, stabbings that we're actually seeing these on video. We've never been here before. We can see it live stream. It's a crazy world. But God, you knew it. You said, see to it that your heart not be troubled. In the last days, there would be perilous times, times hard to deal with. But God, we're going to be faith-filled, full with the Holy Ghost. We're going to go out into our world this week and win people that are far from Jesus. We're going to witness to people. People are going to know we are believers. Just like Charlie, we're going to make it plain and make it bold. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. Somebody ought to give God praise today.